Hi everyone, this is Janice, your neighborhood nutritionist. I've spent the last couple of years helping busy office professionals upgrade their health through upgrading their nutrition. And one thing was very obvious. Nobody's got time to read up on all the scientific stuff to know fact from fiction. So each week, I will talk to you about a different topic or concept in nutrition in simple, everyday terms, so you are empowered to make the best nutritional decisions. Get ready to learn about some new stuff, gain new insights into old concepts, and super boost your health. Hey everyone, today I've got Kelly Nentwich, a menopause lifestyle coach, on my podcast. Thank you, Kelly, for coming to my podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
So I guess to begin with, right, as your title would suggest, you're here to talk to us about menopause. And I'm sure most of my listeners would have guessed by now that I am not going through menopause. But I'm very, very keen actually to really learn all the ins and outs about menopause, because this is something that every woman will go through in their lives. I think it's so important that we really start to understand the truths and realities behind it, instead of just going by, you know, what our mums or aunties have experienced and basing that on old housewives' tales. Because I know there's a lot of misconceptions and maybe lack of knowledge in the area as well. So to begin with, it'll be good if you could tell us how you got to become a menopause lifestyle coach.
First of all, I commend you for actually looking into this topic before you actually hit menopause. I think that is actually a very, very important thing that I think most women should do. So I hope that our talk today, women will find value in it. Even if they can't use the information right now, it is something that they can refer back to in the future. So if you had told me 19 years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have told you that you were absolutely crazy. My life looked a whole lot different. It's kind of the backstory as to how I got started, just kind of a roundabout way to your question. So I actually, right after the birth of my third child, 19 years ago, I got very, very sick. And I had gone to lots of different specialists, and I was suffering from a lot of different things. I had stomach trouble. I had migraines. I wasn't sleeping. I had gained a lot of weight, but probably my most severe symptom was my joint pain. So my joint pain was so severe that there were many days I couldn't get out of my bed. So every time I went to my doctor and I complained about a certain symptom, he would send me to a specialist. And that's, so if it was for my migraine, it was a neurologist. For my stomach, it was a gastroenterologist, and so on and so forth. And every single specialist I went to would write me a prescription for a medication and send me on my way. And so at one point I was on so much medication, I was keeping had to keep a notebook full of what I was taking. And every time I'd go to the doctor, I'd say, I feel like these medications are making it worse. I feel like we're not treating the whole person. We're just it's like whack-a-mole. I don't know if you know, if you're familiar with that game, but it was like a symptom pops up, they give me a pill, and then another symptom would pop up and they give me a pill. And so I felt like they weren't really treating the whole person. And I thought it was really interesting because at this point I had gone through close to a year of visiting lots of different specialists, and not one doctor asked me anything about my diet and my lifestyle. And at the time I was 80 pounds heavier than I am now. I smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. I had a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol. I had a very unhealthy relationship with food. I ate through the drive-through most days because I had three children, four and under, and really was the only way I could feed them, because I couldn't get them all out of their car seats and put them back in their car seats. So the easiest thing was just to go through drive-throughs and feed them that way. And so I remember thinking, oh, it's kind of odd. Nobody's really talked to me. No doctors talked to me about my diet or my lifestyle. And I was clearly a very unhealthy person. And so I was recommended that I go to a rheumatologist about my joint pain. Again, this was probably of all of my symptoms, the most severe was my joint pain, to the point where my husband had to rearrange his work schedule. I couldn't lift my babies. I had two babies at the time in cribs. I couldn't lift them out of their cribs. I couldn't get out of the bed most days, and pain was really severe. So we went to a rheumatologist, and she had me tested and tested me for rheumatoid arthritis, which ended up coming back positive. And so that is actually an autoimmune disease, and it attacks your joint. So your immune system is attacking your joint. I had never heard of rheumatoid arthritis before in my life. So when they said arthritis, I was thinking osteoarthritis. And I'm like, that's for old people. That can't possibly be. Until I understood the difference between rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. And so I remember being in the rheumatologist's office waiting for my result, was going there for my visit for my results. And I remember sitting there and a woman comes out of the office and her hands were like, her fingers were all curled in, mm-hmm. because of RA, that will happen. Your joints like will just sometimes get, you know, like deformed like that. And so I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, like that's my future. Like that's how I'm going to live down the road. And at that time, if I wasn't the next patient in, I think I would have went running out of that office because I was just so scared. And so I went in, spoke to the rheumatologist, and she said, yes, you have RA. I recommend that you get a disability policy because it's only going to get worse. And there's really not much that you can do except take medications. You'll have to come in and have injections into the joints that are affected. And over time, you're going to need more injections. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, and at the time she said, and you know, this is to be expected, you're getting older. Now I was 32 years old at the time. So the fact mm-hmm. that she's telling me I was getting older was just mind blowing to me. And so I asked her, I said, you know, I said, I know I'm not healthy. I said, you know, I have all these different lifestyle choices that I make every single day that I'm not kidding myself. I know they're not healthy. If I was to change some of those, maybe lose a little bit of weight, would that help my joints? And she said, no, your diet and your lifestyle choices have nothing to do with your autoimmune disease. And I left there that day. And I just thought to myself, I left there so disempowered, like my health was so not within my control was what I was mm-hmm. led to believe. And I felt deflated and I felt just like, how can I go on? How can I continue to keep living like this? So it was an awful, awful place to be. And so shortly thereafter, I was laying in bed another morning where I couldn't get up, couldn't take care of my kids because the pain was so bad. And I remember this is as clear as day. It was a pivotal moment in my life. My oldest, who was 4 at the time, comes over to the side of my bed and she says, Mommy, why can't you take care of us anymore? And it was in that moment that I was so determined to do something mm-hmm. about my health. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know if I could really even help myself, but I was determined that that was not my destiny. Like laying in the bed, not being able to be a mother to my children was not my destiny. And so I started down this road. Now, of course, we're going back, like I said, 19 years ago. So I didn't have mm-hmm. Google. We didn't really have the internet like we do now. And so I had to do things the old fashioned way, which is go to a library and start to research. And dragged all 3 kids with me to do this. And I got all books out and I thought, okay, well, maybe if I could just lose some weight, like maybe start eating a little bit healthier, that might help my situation. Again, didn't know how that would look, but I thought, I mean, you know, 80 pounds is a lot of weight. If I lose that, I would imagine that would somehow help my joints a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what started me down this path. And so I did not heal myself, but I was able to get my, RA under control a little bit. And then fast forward 2 years later, and my oldest child, the one that was at my bedside asking me why mm-hmm. I couldn't take care of her, got very sick herself. And we spent about a year's worth of time, almost kind of the same thing, going from pediatric specialist to pediatric specialist. And all they were doing was giving her medications. They would write me a prescription. And again, same thing. At one point she was on so many medications, I had to keep a notebook because I had to keep up with the different medications she was on. And I said to the doctor, I feel like they're doing to her what they did to me years ago. Is just, we show up with a symptom, they write you a prescription and they send you on your way. And so we ended up one day, she was at the pediatric emergency room here for one of her symptoms. It was so bad. And they brought in all of these different specialists in the area and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, what was causing, she had a cough that wouldn't go away and they couldn't figure out what was causing it. So they sent me home after an entire day there with a medication to knock her out because when she slept, she didn't have this cough. Mm-hmm. And I said to the doctors, I said, well, what happens when she wakes up and she has this cough again? What do I do? And they said, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to help you. We just don't have any answers for you. So they literally were sending me home with this child that they couldn't help me. And so when we got home, this same child who I had this major pivotal moment, she was just wise beyond her years. She looked at me before I gave her the medicine and she said, Mommy, please help me. No doctor has been able to help me. And I thought, oh my goodness, like in that moment, anybody who's a mom out there, any of your listeners that are mothers, like if your child says that to you, you just go into like overdrive and like, I'm going to figure this out. And she was right. Mm. Nobody was helping us at that point. So this was 2 years, like I said, fast forward from my diagnosis. And so we had a little bit of Google and the internet, but it wasn't a whole lot. Yeah. It was in its infancy at that time. And so I got online that night, I gave her the medication, knocked her out, and she went to bed, and I was up all night long, and I was on the internet, and I was just searching stuff and deep rabbit holes because things were not readily available. And I came upon this thing, gluten and celiac disease. And I'd never heard of any of that before, and had never heard of it. I didn't even know what it was, but she was checking all the boxes, every single symptom she had been suffering from for a year, checked all the boxes. So I, first thing in the morning, called her pediatric gastroenterologist. That was one of her many doctors. And I said, I want her tested for this. And at the time the doctor said, oh, Mrs. Nentwich, that's a fad diet. Like, you know, that whole gluten-free thing is a fad diet. And I said, oh goodness, I've never even heard of it before. So I don't know how popular it could be. I've never heard of it, but she checks all the boxes and I insisted that she get tested for it. Mm-hmm. He reluctantly tested her for it. And then I got a call about a week later and the test results came back positive. She had celiac disease. And he said to me on the phone, he said, it's a tough lifestyle to live. Again, remember, this is going back 19, well, at this point would have been 17 years ago. It's a tough lifestyle to live. And it's genetic. So you and your husband and your other children should get tested, and good luck. And click, hung up the phone. So yet again, I was let down by the medical system, and kind of we were on our own. And so looking back, this next part is a blessing in disguise. Here in the United States, we have the FDA, and the Food and Drug Administration. And so at that time, they had not passed any laws in the United States where we had to have we have top 8 allergens here. And so they did not have to list the top 8 allergens on any food products. So what that meant was that I had to go to the grocery store and do something I had never done in my entire life. And that was read an ingredient label. I had never read an ingredient label on a package before. I grew up in a time when low fat, low salt, you know, was really popular. And so I would just looked at the front of a package and I bought my items based on the marketing that's on the front of a food package. Never in my life turned over a food package and read an ingredient label, but I was forced to now because I had to figure out if something had gluten in it or not. And that led me down the path of, I'd have to come home and I'd have to like research ingredients. And all of a sudden it was like, wait a second. Okay, that ingredient may be gluten-free, but it's also been shown to, you know, cause cancer, or in other countries it's been banned. Why are they putting this in our food? It was very eye-opening to me what they were putting in our food. And so when she needed to start this special diet, I did it with her because I didn't want her to be the only one in the family doing it. She was young at the time. And I said, well, I'll do it with you. And within a matter of just a few weeks, my RA was like completely gone. And I was like, no, this can't be, like the food, is affecting my joints. And so again, kind of, you know, trying to make my long story short, but it led us down this path of, wow, everything that I had been suffering from and everything my children had been suffering from, because I had to actually, my other two ended up getting diagnosed and were positive. So we all had to change our diets. And it took a while because I didn't have the resources back then that there is now. And I remember thinking to myself, you know, once I get this all straight and get this all figured out, I want to teach other people how to do this, because why was I never taught any of this? Why, out of all the doctors I saw and all the doctors my daughter saw, nobody once said, hey, let's take a look at your diet and see if maybe some of the foods you're eating are causing some of your symptoms. Not one doctor. And so we ended up, over the course of a very short time, started to experience the most amazing health we had ever experienced. Suddenly, all the things we were told were normal parts of aging, or for my kids, normal parts of childhood. Gone, gone, gone. No more sinus infections, no more ear infections, no more asthma. One of my children had asthma. Changed up their diet, everything gone. Changed up my diet, every symptom gone. So when you start to feel amazing, which is what I ended up doing, I wanted to shout it from the rooftops. I wanted to share it with people because I was watching so many people around me suffering. One of the symptoms that I actually had suffered from also early on was early menopause. And again, I was in my early 30s, and I actually was able to get my cycle back and get that all back on track. And that was really just changing up my diet and lifestyle choices. And so again, once I got that all figured out, I was like, I need to shout this from the rooftops. I need to share it with other people. Food is powerful. Our daily choices are powerful. They really affect our overall health. And so that's pretty much how I got started in my business. I was kind of the go-to person. People were coming to me left and right because they saw the changes in our health and our entire family. And they were like, you need to teach us what you're doing. So that's kind of how I got started down this path.
Yeah, I mean, that's such an amazing story. I feel like I had full body chills, like, for the last 5 minutes just listening to you, because, you know, while I'm not a parent myself, I read something that was really profound the other day, that people who are parents, if you would die for your children, why wouldn't you live for them?
Oh my goodness. That is, oh, that's wonderful.
I don't want to kind of make it super stark, you know, to mention death and everything, but I feel like we have about 20 years in our lives, the first 20 years where we feel, where we take everything for granted because we're young, right? And then actually once people, you know, if people go to university or college, once they graduate, everyone seems to feel that that is the beginning of the end. And I've always struggled with that concept of, you know, when people turn 30, turn 40, and then people say, oh, it's going to go downhill from there. And I'm always like, well, if you think about it, each decade means you've now gained an extra decade's worth of knowledge and experience. So how can it be worse? I think a lot of where this came from, I imagine, is because people believe in physical deterioration, which happens, right? I mean, we all die at some point, but I'm a firm believer that until the day we drop dead, right? This famous saying, the best thing to do is drop dead suddenly, right? You don't want to suffer in your mm-hmm. final years. And I'm a firm believer that until that point where you pass away, it is possible to live your best life at that age, whatever the age is. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think your story was super, yeah, it gave me all the chills, because your kids, they should be living their best health at that age, as I'm sure they are now as grown-ups, and so should you, right? And mm-hmm. I think this is why when I started this podcast, I was brainstorming what concepts, what topics I want to cover. I wanted to make sure that I'm covering things that impact all ages, right? Just because I'm young and healthy now doesn't mean I'm not going to grow older, right? So, which is why I'm so glad to have you tell me about menopause, because clearly I know nothing about it. I just know that we will experience it at some point.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's funny because I stumbled onto menopause. I think honestly, no matter what stage you are in life, whether that's perimenopause, menopause itself, or postmenopause, I really believe that any stage of our life, and this is something I teach my clients all the time, it's really a matter of rephrasing. So when somebody comes to me and they're saying they're suffering with symptoms, you know, whatever those symptoms are, and they look different for everybody, quite honestly. I mean, there's some very common symptoms in menopause, and we can talk about that. But really, every woman going through it goes through it a little differently. It's a journey, it's an experience, and we're all going to experience it differently. But I always like to tell them, instead of thinking of these things as symptoms, think of these things as signals from our body. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes, see, when we think of things as symptoms, we almost immediately think we have to seek out help. And I'm not saying that we don't need to seek out help at times, but it's almost like we it's not internal anymore. Now it's, well, it's not my problem. I need to, you know, it's like we come out mm-hmm. of our, it's almost like a coming out of our body experience. And like we're separate.
It's a victim mentality, right? Almost.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And sadly, a lot of women believe that they need that help. And again, there are situations, I don't want to downplay that. There are absolutely, you know, situations where we do need to, but first and foremost, we need to really take a look at ourselves and go, okay, if I'm really honest with myself, what are the choices that I'm making every single day, whether it's mm-hmm. fork to mouth, what am I putting in my mouth multiple times a day? What are the thoughts I'm putting in my brain multiple times a day? How is my sleep? Am I moving my body? There are so many choices we make every single day that really mm-hmm. are going to determine how we go through any phase of life, not just menopause. And I think if we really try to focus on that first, I think the need for the medications and the surgeries, and all, you know, we would see a huge decrease in that, because mm-hmm. oftentimes it's really just a matter of looking inside and going, okay, body, what are you trying to tell me? With these migraines, or these stomach problems, or I'm having hot flashes, or mood swings, or weight gain, you know, what am I doing every single day that can be contributing to that? So what can I change? It's empowering, because it really puts the power back in us. Like, we can do something to help ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't always have to look to outside, you know, to medications or surgeries. Again, not that there isn't a place for those things, but I think first and foremost, we really need to empower ourselves and think about the choices we make every single day.
And you know, I'm all about the empowerment and ownership of our yes. bodies.
Yes.
So I think, you know, from my point of view, for someone who knows very little about menopause, can you give us a blurb on what is menopause actually?
Okay. I would actually like to start with what menopause is not, because I see this all the time and I hear it all the time. Okay. It is not a medical condition. Okay. Menopause is not a medical condition. And I think, and I see this all the time. I hear it with my clients. I see it online all the time. Women will say, I've been diagnosed with menopause. And I say to my clients, when you were a teenager, do you ever remember saying I was diagnosed with puberty? And they'll say, no, actually not. And I, wait, because you're diagnosed with a medical condition, not menopause. We diagnose medical conditions, not normal stages of life. And menopause is a normal stage of life, just like puberty is. And, but again, you never hear anybody say, I've been diagnosed with puberty, but you hear women say all the time, I've been diagnosed with menopause. And again, it's that, you know, that mindset. We need to change that mindset. We need to change the conversation around menopause. It is a natural phase of life, and women are going to go through it, whether they go through it naturally or go through it surgically, they're going to go through it. And again, every woman's journey is going to look different. Mm-hmm. But there is so much that every woman can do to really help them get through that in the healthiest way that they possibly can. So I always like to answer that question more, what it isn't. It's not a medical condition. It is a natural process that we're going to go through.
So I think that's a really good point. I laughed when you said, you know, did you get diagnosed with puberty? Because yeah, you know, a lot of these... I think adding the medical label to a lot of these naturally occurring biological phases, if you will call it, is what's causing a lot of people to rely on over-the-counter medication, which, you know, I used to be that person who, whenever I had a headache, straight to the painkiller, right? And then I found out, either if I drank more water, if I ate, I'll be fine. So I think, you know, completely agree with your point about, you know, we need to change the mindset around what is a medical condition, because they exist. But things that naturally happen to our bodies, I think we can, if we remove that label, then we can probably embrace it a little bit more and learn to work with it rather than trying to kill it, for lack of a better word. So from a biological perspective, all I know about menopause is that essentially your menstruation cycles stop and you can no longer have children or get pregnant.
So yes, basically that will happen because our hormones, of course, we're shifting our hormones, you know, we're supposed to have that balance and our hormones will shift. So we're going to have less estrogen as we're going through menopause. And menopause is really one day in your life. So, and there's a lot of misconception around that too. Menopause really is one day in your life. And it's the day where you have, where you've completed 12 months of not having a period. So it's really technically, it's the years leading up to, the years leading up to it are perimenopause. And menopause is one day in your life. That's it. It's that anniversary, that 12-month anniversary of not having had a period.
Okay.
And then everything after that is what we consider postmenopause.
And how long is perimenopause? And long is postmenopause?
That's going to vary significantly. There's a, a huge, you know, there's a huge, scale, you know, as far as when women are experiencing perimenopause, when they, you know, it really, anytime, usually what you'll see is menopause itself, women will go through that typically from their late 40s to their early to mid 50s. And that's very general. That's a very general time frame. So that can change. Just because it's not happening to you during that time doesn't make it wrong. And so that's important. And I think this is really the key, is the individuality, because every single woman is different. And I think that's really important. Sometimes we just, you know, it's, we give this very general, broad, you know, description, and we don't take into account that each woman is an individual. And so, but just to give you a general idea, it's usually the late 40s to mid 50s.
So I guess in the couple of questions on the whole, you know, peri and actual that day of menopause and postmenopause, when you say it varies between people, is this something that's genetic or lifestyle choices influencing, or literally nobody knows why they vary?
That's a really good question. It's a little bit of both. And what they're finding, though, is your genetics will play a part in that, but really what is the really big player in all of it is epigenetics. And that really comes down to your environment and the things in your environment and the things that you come in contact with every single day. Those things are really the thing that's going to determine how you go through those stages in life. And really, honestly, it's really no different than any other part of life. You know, for so many years, you know, people believe that, you know, your diseases that you got, whether that was cancer or diabetes or heart disease, it's in your genes, you're just destined to get it. Well, no, that's not the case. That is not what it is. And they have found that your daily choices, your habits, your daily habits, your epigenetics, those things are really the most important thing. So you can carry a gene for something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, you know, express that and go through that disease or that type of thing. So epigenetics plays a much bigger role in that.
And I think for people who are not familiar with the term, imagine your genetic level of coding. Let's say you have a corridor of 10 doors, right? Some of the doors would say cancer on it. Some of it would say, I don't know, you put on weight easily, whatever. Imagine then your lifestyle choices and external environmental factors to be keys. So just because the door is there doesn't mean they are always opened. So I think that's quite a simple way to explain how epigenetics work.
Hey Janice, what are you thinking about for Christmas this year?
Well, you know I'm obsessed with candles. I just find them so expensive all the time.
Excuse me, what about my range of candles? The London one would be perfect for your evenings in. It's also made of coconut wax and essential oils, which makes them both vegan and pet friendly.
Oh my god, I cannot believe I've actually forgotten that you've got a whole range of candles.
All my candles, they're inspired by my travels.
For people who don't care for candles, Laura also has loads of other homeware products that are super chic and will be perfect for gifting for any occasion.
Also, if you run out of ideas, I've put some curated gift sets together online, so you can really customize them with the color combinations and different products, and they're all neatly wrapped in gorgeous packaging.
And remind me, where can people find your amazing collection?
So my website is laurajacksondesign.com, or you can also find me on Instagram, laura_jackson_designs.
So everyone check out Laura's stuff now and use promo code nutrition to get 15% off any orders. That's promo code nutrition. Now I understand that menopause is actually the one day, and you've got the peri, which is the all the time before that happens. And then you've got post, which is all the time that happens after. What are the common, or maybe not common, symptoms in both of these phases? Because I would have seen from marketing, you know, you've got all of these products now that deal with hot flashes, mood swings. Can you give me a kind of clearer idea of what is this range of signals that people might have?
Right. Oh, I love how you did that. Signals.
Learning quickly.
Exactly. So yeah, so again, each woman's journey looks different to them, but there are definitely some more common signals that women get, and hot flashes is definitely one of the more common ones that I hear of. Weight gain around the middle, the kind of the belly fat, which is actually the most dangerous kind of fat. Sleep disturbance, so women are not sleeping. Mood swings is another one. Forgetfulness, that's a huge one as well. And so I would say that those are some of the more common symptoms. Some of the maybe less common symptoms that sometimes women don't associate with would be joint pain, inflammation of your gums, so bleeding gums, migraines. Again, there's a whole host of signals that your body gives to you that, you know, a lot of times women don't even associate, you know, with that time of life. But I also like what I always tell my clients is it isn't necessarily just because you're going, you're in menopause or perimenopause or postmenopause. Again, those signals that your body is giving you oftentimes is because of a lifetime of us really abusing our bodies, not taking care of ourselves. Mm. Right. We women get to, you know, in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, and we have spent a good lifetime taking care of so many other people around us, whether that's spouses or family or children, that we put ourselves on the bottom of the list. Oftentimes we don't even put ourselves on that list. And our mm-hmm. bodies are these amazing machines, but there's really only so much they're going to take. And so we get to a certain age, and it may really have nothing to do with the fact that you're in a certain phase of life. It just might be your body's way of saying, I'm done with you not taking care of me anymore. Mm-hmm. You have been taking care of everybody around us, but you're not taking care of me. And so, so it's actually, I like to think of it that way. You know, I always hate to blame these things on these natural phases of life that we're going to mm-hmm. go through.
I'm sure a lot of women listening would be keen to know what kind of a lifestyle or what choices should people be making, you know, very generally speaking, so that we can go into perimenopausal stage as smoothly as possible.
They are going to be the exact same things that we would do to live any kind of other healthy lifestyle. And those are going to be eating healthy whole foods. That's probably the most important thing that we can do. Mm-hmm. So getting away from processed foods, things that are in a bag, a box, a can, getting back to eating lots and lots of fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. Those are super important. And because we eat multiple times a day, it makes sense that that might be the first thing we want to start looking at is what mm-hmm. we're eating every single day, because we do it multiple times a day. I always like to give this example. It's like if you take your toe and you stub it on, let's say, your coffee table, your table in your mm-hmm. living room, right? You stub your toe. Ow, it hurts, it bruises up. Well, if you do that 3, 4, 5 times a day, you keep doing that, it's never going to heal, right? And you're going to be in pain all the time. And your body's going to be sending you that signal, hey, I hurt, stop doing that. So I always like to say food is kind of like the same thing. We do it multiple times a day. So it really should be probably the first thing that we're looking at. And it really comes down to getting the processed foods out and eating whole foods the way they were intended to be eaten. That's really the number one thing I tell women that they should do. Hydration is so important. So let's stop drinking, you know, lots of sodas and you know, alcohol and caffeine, and let's get back to basics, drinking water, start drinking more water. Hydration is so important. And most women are walking around, they're dehydrated and they don't even realize it. In my courses, I really focus a lot on hydration. And it's funny because a lot of women will start drinking the amount of water that I suggest in the courses. And they say that one thing alone, they start to feel amazing. And they didn't realize how dehydrated they were because it just wasn't something that they were focusing on. So I'd say your food you're eating, because you do it multiple times a day, what you're drinking, you know, let's get back to drinking a lot more water because you're doing that multiple times a day too. And I cannot stress enough as we age, the importance of moving our bodies during the day, all day, every day. We need to be moving our bodies. We are very sedentary. We sit a lot, especially as we get older. Women will find that as our kids age and, you know, they're either moving out and moving on, we're not running kids around to different activities as much, and we become a lot more sedentary. And so that is, of course, going to affect our health. And I hate to use the word exercise because it scares people away. It doesn't have to be intense exercise. Hey, if you like that, that's great. All the more power to you and do it. But just really simply moving our bodies. So if that just means getting outside and going for a walk every single day, if you can't do it outside, walk around your house. You know, there's things that you can do, simple, basic things. They don't cost any money. They're easy to do. And it's really just getting down back to, you know, back to basics. So I would say it's the food you're eating, what you're drinking, and moving your body. Move your body every single day. Functional movement is so important. Mm. Something else I do in a lot of my courses is I work with women. Like one of the things that I do run a monthly challenge. And one of the things that I have the women do in the challenge is every day during the 14-day challenge, they have to get up and down off the floor a couple of times a day. We increase the amount. And the response I get from that all the time is always amazing. They always say, I read that and I thought, I could get up and down off the floor. And then like almost every single woman will be like, I did it and I didn't realize it's a lot harder to do that than I realized. And these are the things that we have to be thinking about as we age, that functional movement. Can you bend over and tie your shoes? Can you get up and down off the floor easily? So I would say movement, food, and water would be the top three things that I recommend.
I'm laughing to myself because I feel like these three things, all I can think about is imagine you're a car, right? If your water's too low, you're going to get in trouble. If you use the wrong type of gas, you're going to be in trouble. If you don't drive your car for 80 years, it's going to rust. All perfect. I can think of is we are cars.
It's perfect. And you know, the sad thing is most women will take better care of their cars than they do of their own bodies. And we just, again, it's that taking care of other things and other people. I go back to what I said earlier. We put ourselves on the bottom of the list, oftentimes not on the list at all. But if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of women will tell you they take better care of their cars than they do their own bodies.
Are there any kind of interesting or weird misconceptions you've heard of around menopause?
Probably back to the going back to it's a medical condition. So I always, you know, chuckle when I hear somebody say I've been diagnosed with menopause. So going back to that, but I think, you know, again, it's this misconception that as we age, we're supposed to deteriorate. And that's that's simply not true. That is absolutely not true. And we've been led to believe, I hate to say it, we've been fed this lie that as you get older, you're just expected to not feel that good and you're expected to suffer. And it breaks my heart to see so many women getting that information and living every day thinking, well, this is just normal. I have to suffer through this phase. And nothing could be further from the truth. And again, like I said earlier, everybody's journey is different and how we go through it's different. And even if you make diet and lifestyle changes, it's still your journey might look different than somebody else or than me. But clearly, if we can make better diet and lifestyle choices, you're only going to improve.
Like, so instead of accepting imminent suffering, we should aspire to feel good instead,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I can confirm to listeners that Kelly does not look her age.
Oh,
I think I said this to you last time as well, but honestly, I remember the first time we chatted when you told me your age, I was a bit shocked. I was like, are you serious? and I think that, you know, really is a testament to kind of all round healthiness and what that does to our appearance as well. And, you know, it's how we carry ourselves.
People always say, well, how do you live without, you know, don't you miss eating, you know, and they'll rattle off ice cream, cake or whatever. And I say, oh my goodness, no, because nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. Mm-hmm. Like I know what it's like to be sick and I know now what it's like to be healthy and I never want to go back to being sick. So to me, no, I don't miss it. I love eating healthy. I really do because I love the way it makes me. I love the way it makes me feel.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I've learned so much actually in this conversation.
Thank you.
Would you be able to give our listeners three actionable tips or pieces of advice so they can go and try it straight away?
Yes. And I will circle back to what we talked about earlier. The three biggest things are eat more plant foods, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, right? So whether that's a smoothie or a big salad or, you know, just start getting more whole plant foods in your diet. The number two thing is water, water, water. Make sure you're staying hydrated, drink that water throughout the day. And the third thing is moving your body every day. And for a lot of people, they'll say, well, that seems so simple. Well, it might be simple, but it's not always easy to do, right? So it's really getting back to the basics. So when I have a client who comes to me and they want a list of supplements they can take and herbal remedies they can do, I'll say, wait, let's get down to the basics. Mm-hmm. How's your diet looking? How much water do you drink? And do you move your body every day? And generally, I can tell you 99% of the women that come to me will say, no, actually, I'm not doing any of those. Let's get back to those basics first.
So the final question, what is the one food that always takes you to your happy place?
I love all plant foods, right? I'm just like a vegetable geek. So believe it or not, you can ask my husband, I get excited over vegetables. But if I had to pick one food, an unhealthy food, so I give you all vegetables for me are my healthy, happy food. I'll give you an unhealthy one that I do have a weakness because nobody's perfect. jelly beans. I love jelly beans.
And that's it for this episode of Neighborhood Nutritionist. Thank you so much for spending this time with me, and I hope you've really enjoyed it and learned something you can take away with you today. If you could take a second to share this episode with one person you think will love it, that would be absolutely amazing. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening now. See you soon!